Welcome to our adult Bible study class this morning, and the fruit of long suffering, one that takes a little bit of a beating, I think, because we always say, be careful what you pray for, and, you know, a lot of translations call it patience, and the fear is if you pray for patience, God will give you trials that you have to be patient through. But I think that's kind of a bad rap. I've kind of subscribed to that myself, so I learned something this morning. So hopefully you will too. But anyway, Josh did the announcements. That's good. Threw me off my whole game here, but that's all right. It's page 35 in your workbook, and again, we have for your text Galatians 5, 22, and 3, and then there's a Exodus and Numbers and Ephesians that I will read. But if you'd all stand with me for the reading or recital of God's Word, I'm going to do better, I promise, on Galatians 5, 22, and 20. I got five more weeks to really get it down, but all right. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So praise God, and and we're going to see how those kind of build on each other. Your other text there, I'll just read. Exodus 34:6 says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" And then Numbers 14:18 states, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression." And then finally the text, and we'll go back through these again, but the final one there listed is Ephesians 4:26. "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I do pray as we go through these lessons that we would just once again take these to heart and to practice. Lord, that we would turn our lives over to the Holy Spirit so that we might bear his fruit. Lord, today we especially pray that you would just help us to persevere, to be long-suffering, and that, Lord, as we look at your purpose in doing so and for us to do so, I pray that you would help us to grow in that area to become more and more like you. And Lord, again, that we just learn that we have to depend on you and the Holy Spirit to effectively bear your fruit. We thank you for this time. Ask a blessing on each one that came and that you would have something for each one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. All right. So long-suffering, there in your overview, it says, long-suffering played an important role in the life of Christ. And if we are to be conformed to his image, it must play a big part, a big role in our lives as well. The following study of long-suffering shows how we can implement this fruit of the Spirit into our lives. The lesson theme, the importance of long-suffering in the life of a believer is revealed during times of trial, testing, and success. I find it interesting in there that it adds "and success." You know, we're used to being told to be patient and long-suffering during the trials and the testing. But sometimes success can have a negative effect on our lives as too. We start thinking, we're too hot. We're the hot shot. We can do it all. And so we got to be careful of that as well. So good lessons for us this morning. And there's a great picture here. Many people who live in Indio, California. Anybody know where Indio, California is or been there? Okay, see none, that's okay. They're very proud of a particular fruit that grows in their specific environment and climate. And it's dates. There's a picture there, I think you can make it out, of a date palm, of a date, and quite the cluster of dates there. I'm not a real date fan, but everyone, you know, you put enough sugar on them, I used to eat them, but, you know, kind of amazing to see just how thick and rich those things grow. Date palms live a very long time. They are unique in that they do not begin to bear fruit until the fourth year. So if you're a farmer, you're growing dates and you're planting them, you better have enough money to survive 4 years before you expect your first crop. And their fruit bearing does not become prosperous until the trees are about 80 years old. You got to wait 80 years probably to get a crop like that. So that is pretty amazing. At that time, the trees produce approximately 100 pounds of fruit on an annual basis. So they do get fruitful after a while. That means there's still hope for some of us old guys around here. But these are enduring trees that do not even reach their potential, their full potential, until their 100th year. That's when they really start putting out the dates. Isn't that amazing to think something just God designed to take that long to reach its full potential? Well, the date palm is a representation of long-suffering, a fruit that is only produced by the Spirit of God. The English word long-suffering comes from two Greek words, makro, which means slow, and thumos, which means wrath. And I thought that's an interesting combination as well, slow wrath. Therefore, it can be defined as slow to wrath, long endurance, or patience. The date palm endures to its 100th year to be of great use. Even so, God wants us to endure to reach our potential so that we might be greatly used of Him. You know, and when we hear the word patience, and I'm really glad that for this translation it says long-suffering. You know, the patience, I kind of tend to think, well, that's getting in the wrong line at the bank or the store. You know, you got to be patient. And it always seems you pick the wrong one, right? And then, you know, we say, okay, I'll just be patient, you know, and got to take a deep breath. But when you think of the translation of slow to wrath, you know, that's not commonly put in with patience. We just think about that we should just not get angry so quickly. And not only that, we need to be forgiving. Exodus again, 34:6 says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." So we just see a better example of being long-suffering through our Lord Jesus. We as Christians are to be conformed to the image of Christ, who displayed long-suffering. You know, and we're all familiar with his story and the long-suffering. But Numbers 14:18 said, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression." So that forgiveness and mercy is part of long-suffering because we, in other words, just put up with it, you know, and not to react as we are prone to do in our flesh. We live in a day of quick retribution. People want revenge. They harbor ill feelings toward others and solve all their problems by hiring attorneys. I was thinking even, you know, just this week, you know, when Iran seized a couple boats, you know, I mean, what? People want to jump, you know, let's blow them up, you know, and it's kind of a natural reaction, maybe not even the wrong reaction in that case, but, you know, that's how we want retribution, and we want justice quickly. Well, praise God that he doesn't necessarily want it so quickly. Good story about Abraham Lincoln. Practiced law, as most of you know. He was approached by a man who wanted revenge. He begged Lincoln to bring a lawsuit for $2.50 against a poor debtor. Lincoln did all he could to discourage him of such a lawsuit, but it was to no avail. Finally, Lincoln agreed to take the case only if he could pay the legal fee of $10. The plaintiff eagerly paid the money, wishing to see his debtor come to justice. Lincoln then gave half the money to the defendant, who confessed and paid his debt of $2.50. I like that. The plaintiff was quick to want revenge, and he paid for it in the end. Unfortunately, that's what happens to us. We end up paying for it ourselves when we seek revenge. You know, we talk about the bitterness and all that stuff that we do, and we're the ones end up getting hurt. This is what happens when we seek revenge. We end up paying for it ourselves by the bitterness and anger that affect our lives. Very few Christians follow Christ's example of patience or live according to Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And it's so important. I know that was kind of one of the rules Kathy and I had early in our marriage growing up, you know, or growing up in marriage. She didn't always like it. I didn't always like it. But we tried to make sure that we could go to bed at least with some peace. And it's just, it's an important thing, I think, to do. The fruit of long-suffering is not developed through a spirit of self-determination. We cannot endure the hardships of this world in our own strength. You know, our flesh just doesn't want to do that. We want revenge and we want it now. But we can do it with the Lord's help. Long-suffering is developed when a patient Christian says, I want to experience the heart growth that only comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we ask Him to help us to grow in that area. So you may wonder, what does long-suffering accomplish in the life of a Christian, and how can it be attained? Long-suffering played an important role in the life of Christ. He practiced this fruit of the Spirit many times. The following three areas of long-suffering show how we can implement this fruit of the Spirit in our everyday lives, just as Christ did. Roman numeral 1, the perseverance of long-suffering. Perseverance. Long-suffering enables you to persevere during the trials of life. There in your book, 2 Corinthians 6:4, Paul said, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. So with all that, we just approve ourselves with patience. The patience of Paul exhibited during times of difficulty was indicative to those around him that he was a servant of God. You know, I think sometimes we forget, I had to double check myself that, you know, we know Paul endured a lot, but, you know, you kind of read about it and you don't realize that he ministered and was basically evangelist for 32 years. So it's not something that, you know, he just suffered for 4 or 5 years and went away, you know, but 32 years he was thrown in jail and whipped and thrown in the ocean and, you know, just on and on and on. He had perseverance. A similar statement is found in James 5:10 there in your book. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. The prophets, you know, suffered. You know, and they... Stephen even corrected, you mistreated all these prophets, you know, you're not doing anything different nowadays. And, you know, just reminder that the prophets didn't have it easy. You know, Elijah, great victory and then great turmoil. And they suffered affliction. One of the fundamental characteristics of greatness is the ability to persevere, to endure and grow during hard times. We help those times refine us and grow us. We're getting more like Christ. On May 29th, 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary became the first man to accomplish the daunting task of climbing the highest mountain known to man, Mount Everest. We're all pretty familiar probably with at least that part of the story. He was highly recognized for his achievement, and he was knighted for his efforts, and his name was placed in the portals of history. Yet, yes, he was successful. However, until you read his biography, you would not understand the growth and perseverance that preceded his success. In 1952, the year before, he failed in his first attempt at climbing Mount Everest. A few weeks later, when addressing a large gathering of people in England, he was met with thunderous applause, although the people were recognizing his attempt to accomplish a seemingly impossible feat. Edmund Hillary viewed himself as a failure. He left the microphone, walked to the very edge of the stage, and made a fist, gestured toward a large picture of Mount Everest, and with a loud, determined voice, he made this statement. Mount Everest, you beat me this time, but I will beat you next time, because you've grown all that you're going to grow, and I am still growing. What a wonderful comment of determination and recognition that he could still grow. Sir Edmund Hillary was persistent in the face of an obstacle, and he was patient to overcome it. The people who often earn our respect are those who exhibit persistence and patience during trials and discouragement. I can probably all relate to somebody we've admired, maybe even a family that's persisted through some trials and tribulations. They earn our respect. Not so much the whiners and complainers, and they have reason to whine and complain, but the ones we respond to are the ones that persevere through those trials. Letter A, we persevere because of God's purpose. Because of God's purpose. As Christians, you and I can persevere even when others quit because of God's purpose for bringing trials into our lives. I believe God's purpose is threefold. First, God allows or brings trials into our lives for correction. We don't like that one, but we need that one. Sometimes God uses trials to say, hey, you're going in the wrong direction. You are getting sidetracked from my will for your life. In Hebrews 12, 6 and 7 in your book, the Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And if we could just think on that, meditate on that, when we suffer a trial, and it seems like God's allowing that, or he maybe even brought it upon us, we just say, he must love me, because he's correcting me, And we do that with our kids, In love, we try to correct them. We try to keep them out of the streets and doing crazy thing because we love them. And that's what God will allow in our lives to help us grow and to stay in his will. The example in the book, children young, they naturally have to play outside. Many times it's the parents' responsibility to watch for their children's safety. If we tell them to stay in the boundary of the backyard, the children are to obey to remain safe from the street. Great story Kathy found last night. We shared. Hugo likes to drive his little Jeep around, right? Well, she found a toddler, same age as Hugo, in Minnesota, got on his John Deere tractor, you can just picture Hugo doing this, and drove 2 miles at a mile per hour to the fair on his own little down the street. And of course, they panic. They don't see him doing this. They call 911. The sheriff's finally caught up with him at the fairgrounds on his little John Deere tractor. Boy, we got to chain Hugo to the, because he would be the first one to do that. Anyway, but, the proper response, they grounded him from the tractor, only for a week, but I got to fit the crime with the age. But anyway, I thought that was just a great example of parents. We don't want our kids driving down 2 miles to the fair in their little tractor, amen? Likewise, when Christians are headed in a direction that is contrary to God's will for their lives, he lovingly chastens them through correction to bring them back to the protection of his will. Life's easier if you're in his will. Amen? He knows that. And that's what he wants for us. Second, God allows trials into our lives to challenge us. He wants to see us reach our next level of spiritual growth. Sometimes we need those trials to grow and to grow through. In your book, Psalm 119:71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. David crying out to the God that it was good to suffer affliction. That's not the attitude of the average Christian today. If you walked out of church this morning and discovered your car had been stolen, you would probably not say, wow, my car's missing. I know I can learn a lesson from this. Not the reaction I'd have, I hate to say. But yet, that's exactly what David is saying in this scripture. That, thank you for the affliction, God. I'm going to learn something. Wow. That's a tough attitude to emulate, but David did so. David is saying, trials are a good thing for me because I can learn more about God's law through them. Again, just what do we think on? Where do our attitudes go when trials come? We need to put them first on God. Sometimes we get into autopilot. We make our own decisions, go our own way until something like cancer, unemployment, or some source of trouble gets our attention. At that moment, when God has our attention, we're faced with a choice. Will we have the attitude of David, or will we succumb to self-pity and complaining? The choice we make. Third, God brings trials into our lives so that he can use us in a greater way. Sometimes we have the trials and we get through that so he can use us. I used to call, this is a Pastor Chapel story, I used to call one of my pastor friends on a regular basis. I would unload all of my ministry blues on him. This bill is due and that person walked away from God. He kindly listened to all my problems. Finally, during one phone call, he said, I am so excited to hear about your problems. I know Josh is going to use this line. And Pastor Chapel thought, what's wrong with this guy? What's he saying to me? He's glad to hear about all my problems. And he continued, you would not be having all these problems if God wasn't preparing to use you more greatly in the future. Good example. Actually, Josh had a similar thing said by an older pastor when he became a pastor. He was told, you're going to get challenged. You're going to have a great challenge in your life to become a great preacher. Unfortunately, we've seen some truth to that. But obviously, we're also seeing a good response to that and the long suffering through that. He's come to believe that this man was right. Genesis 50:20, we hear the testimony of a man named Joseph who had been sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. Years later, after becoming one of the greatest rulers in Egypt, he said, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. 50 years later, like the date palm, so he doesn't even get through until some suffering for years and years. I do not know God's plan for your life, but I promise that he has a purpose far greater for you than a successful career or a large bank account. He desires to use you to be a blessing to others, to spread the gospel or encourage a hurting heart. Don't allow the trials that come your way to go to waste. Let them prepare you for a greater season of usefulness. Don't run and hide. Get more useful. Letter B, we persevere because of God's priority. God's priority. We persevere not only because of God's purpose, but because of his priority. This divine priority is found there in your book, Romans 8, 28, and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, if we're Christians, he wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son, or to become more like Christ. God's priority for every Christian is to conform their lives into the image of Jesus Christ. This often follows our willingness to wait on the Lord during times of adversity. Someone once said, and I like this, pay attention to this, in adversity, we want God to do a removing job when he wants to do an improving job. We want him to remove it. He wants to improve us. A good comparison to remember. There's a parable about a farmer whose old mule fell into the well. The farmer heard the animal braying. After carefully assessing the situation, he decided that neither the well nor the mule was worth the trouble of saving. He called his neighbors and asked them to assist him by burying the mule and putting him out of his misery. Shovels of dirt began to hit his back. The mule became hysterical until a thought struck him. I don't know how they know that, but makes sense. Every time a load of dirt came down, he would shake it off and step up. Blow after painful blow, he said, shake it off and step up. Shake it off and step up. The situation seemed hopeless, but the mule fought panic and continued shaking it off and stepping up. Battered and exhausted, the old mule eventually stepped triumphantly over the wall of the well. What was supposed to bury him turned into a blessing, all because of the way he handled his adversity. Shook it off and stepped up. Good story. Sometimes God will not remove a problem because he wants us to provide a blessing. He wants us to shake it up and step up. He allows trials so that we will read his word more fervently and spend time in prayer. In essence, he wants us to become more like Jesus Christ. We need to be more like that old mule. Just keep climbing up. Your willingness to wait on the Lord during trials is an expression of your faith. It is saying, God, I believe in you, and I believe that through your Spirit I can be long-suffering through the adversities of life. We can do it with his help, and only with his help. We see people all the time that don't get through it very well, and because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ or have the Holy Spirit on their team. Roman numeral 2, we have the influence of long-suffering. The influence of long-suffering. Here we have the moso is a bamboo plant that grows in China and in the Far East. It's hard to get some perspective, but if you can imagine, you can tell those are big and tall. Amen? Once the moso has been planted, no visible growth occurs for 5 years. You plant that, you don't see anything for 5 years. Then, almost magically, it begins to grow at the rate of 2.5 feet per day. You can literally see this thing coming up. 2.5 feet a day. Reaching a full height of 90 feet within 6 weeks. In 6 weeks, it's been 5 years, you haven't seen anything. In 6 weeks, you got these 90-foot tall bamboo trees. Amazing. This amazing phenomenon is due to the miles of roots the plant develops during those first 5 years of growth. What you're not seeing is it's going down, fruit from the roots, amen? Those roots are going deep for 5 years before it starts its push upward. Pretty amazing. And just so indicative of what we've been talking about, the fruit from the roots and going. There, and Pastor Chappell says, there has been overwhelming times of anguish when I have not understood the purpose for the trials in my life. I had to rely on these words of comfort from Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we just don't know, but we can be still and trust God, have faith in him. Looking back, I can see that God was establishing my heart, putting down roots, so that I could experience greater spiritual growth. Suffer 5 years and grow 90 feet. Wow, pretty impressive. Someone once said, long-suffering is the grace of a man who could revenge himself, but does not. Somebody that could, but does not. A Christian who is suffering during trials will have a greater influence on others' lives. He will be respected. There will be an influence God places on his life that can be used to help others further down the road. His influence will reach out to his family and to the people around him. Again, we don't have much further to look than at our own pastor and the trials, but you just hear it all the time. That people he relates to and can comfort because he's gone through it. I'm sorry that he's at the receiving end of that, but what a blessing. He's been to so many people and his ministry because of that. So I get to brag on you a little bit. Sorry, Josh. But anyway, so we need to be long-suffering and influence, letter A, with our families. With our families. Okay. First, God wants you to have influence on your family during difficult times. You may say, it seems as though I have no influence on my wayward children or relatives. I'm sure we can all relate to that. So sometimes it just seems like we're, not making any progress. But God will use your testimony in their lives. We're really wrong to think about that. In such a way, he will use your long suffering, your patience, and your not giving up on them to make a difference in their lives. Maybe not even in our lifetime, but hopefully later they'll remember that. Unsaved families argue, scream, and kick each other out of the house, but Christian families should exhibit long suffering and unconditional love. We can and should be an example to those out there that are going through much of the same thing, but they can see a different reaction if we choose to. Like this too. Let me remind you that a good marriage is not the result of finding the right person. It's the result of being the right person. Oh, wow. That brings it a little closer to home. Well, if I'd only found the right person, which I did, I was fortunate. But it's more important about being the right person. And that will keep the marriage good. God wants husbands and wives to be spirit-filled and long-suffering in this sacred relationship. In your book, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. God wants Christians to be full-time ministers of grace in their marriages, in their families, and in their communities. As a husband, I needed a lot of wisdom in this area. It's not always easy to see a problem from my wife's point of view. Definitely relate to that. What are you talking about? No. But thankfully, she's been very long-suffering with me. In the early years of our marriage, and unfortunately, I'd have to say I continue to do this, I'd go outside and I'd work in the yard or work on the car, come in all dirty and greasy, right? Go to the kitchen sink, put on some little Ajax, some kitchen wash up in the sink, grab the nearest dish towel and dry my hands, right? Well, after grabbing the Ivory soap and Ajax, I'd attempt to wash them. I soon learned that there are two kinds of towels. That you use, one you use for decoration, the other that can be used for drying your hands. And I just made that mistake, about 3 weeks ago. So I haven't learned real good. She's been long suffering on what towels I can use. But it's so true. And this is Pastor Chappell's story. I think some of you relate, so I'm going to leave it intact. Sometimes I have to be long-suffering with my wife also, especially when she wants to go shopping. Shopping is a word that has different meanings to different people. To Pastor Chappell, it means to know what you want, know where to go, know how much it costs, get it, and go home. I can relate to that. I like to do that kind of shopping. Well, a woman's philosophy is often different. For his wife, shopping is a huge affair that entails several hours of going to every shoe store, trying on every pair of shoes before making a purchase. It has taken time for him to learn how to care for his wife and meet her needs. It's not something I have been able to figure out on my own. I have had to rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help me become a patient husband and a patient father. We need his help to do those things. Letter B, we can have influence with others around us. Others around us. God also wants your patient spirit to influence those in your church, your community, and place of employment. You will not gain respect by flying off the handle or giving someone a piece of your mind. That is not how you gain influence in this world. Like most fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering is the product of love. You know, like you think of that, you know, love, we talked early that everything else is based on that. Well, then if you have love, joy, and peace, the first three, long-suffering becomes easier. Because you have love, and you got joy, and you got peace. So it's a little easier, I think, to be long-suffering, because you build on that. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, in your book, the Bible says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Well, love is patient with others' weaknesses, ignorance, and error. It waits for God to accomplish his divine purpose. Love knows that vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Just waiting for him to take care of it, not trying to do it ourselves. It allows God to reveal flaws to others as you and I exhibit long-suffering and patience with hearts of love. We just, you know, and the pastor just expressed yesterday, the BBS workers, our main job is to love them. You know, they're going to be kids and probably some things, especially me, I'm going to want to throttle. You know, he's forbidding me to do that. And that's good because we just, these kids we have for a few hours, let's just show them the love of God. Be long-suffering with them. You know, if they kick out a window, oh well, the window can be fixed. That kid's spirit, maybe not. We need to build them up and do that. Your neighbors, co-workers, and friends are watching your life and testimony, especially if you've told them you're a Christian. Then they're watching with magnifying glasses. Are you bearing fruit that is different from the world? In your book, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See it all, love and peace and long-suffering. We're to show that, our vocation. According to the Bible, your vocation is not lawyer, doctor, plumber, sales manager. Your primary vocation or calling in this life is to be a servant of God by endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in your dealings with God's people. Over the years, I've seen children or Christians get sidetracked. They begin to say false things about other Christians. In your book, 1 Peter 2:23 says of Jesus Christ, who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. In other words, when they bad-mouthed him and spit on him, he just turned it over to God. He knew they'd get it in the end. He just wanted to love them into the kingdom and forgive them. Jesus was the greatest example of long-suffering. He was spit upon, cursed, and beaten, yet he did not seek revenge or harbor ill feelings. You might say, but I have evidence against somebody. I can prove that he is a liar. Friend, it might be better to forget about proving your case and just give the whole thing over to the Lord. I spent my life trying to prove that I am right and others are wrong. It would get me off the track of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we can get too bogged down into proving we're right. As a Christian, you have a testimony to uphold. As you walk in the Spirit, the Lord will give you the influence of long-suffering, and you will learn to handle life's trials from a new perspective. But Roman numeral 3, the good news is the deliverance of long-suffering. The deliverance of long-suffering. Because of God's long-suffering for us, he endeavors to deliver us from sin and its consequences. And I needed to pay attention to that, or to deliver us from sin and its consequences. In other words, if we sin, we're going to have consequences. You know, God's word's pretty clear on that, and we all know we deserve the consequences, you know. We'd hope, we might pray he takes them away. What if we've sinned, we've done it? But if he delivers us from the sin, what? Then we don't have the consequences. And that's what God and the Holy Spirit wants to do, is deliver us from sin and thus its consequences. God gives us hope. This hope lies in the security of salvation obtained by Christ on the cross. God gives salvation, which allows us to be a part of the second coming of Christ. Long-suffering delivers us two phenomenal promises in the Bible. Letter A, the deliverance of salvation. The deliverance of salvation. The connection between long-suffering and salvation is found in 2 Peter 3:9, there in your book. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm sure glad he waited for me. And glad he might be waiting for some relatives. You know, as much as I long to see him and join him and all that, there's some people I'd like to see saved first. God delays his coming because of his long suffering. Talk about long suffering. We're talking 2,000 years. You know, that is a long suffering. He does not want one person to spend a Christless eternity in hell. He desires that all men would come to repentance, to the place of saying, I'm a sinner, and I turn to Jesus for forgiveness. Most Christians admit that they did not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior the first time they heard the gospel. For this reason, we should be grateful for his long-suffering. I'm glad he gave us a second, third, fifth, tenth, 100th chance. Amen. He gives us countless opportunities to come to repentance. in your book. 1 Timothy 1:16 says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Notice he did the longsuffering as a pattern. Guess what? For us to follow. In this verse, Paul described longsuffering as a pattern that would lead others to everlasting life. Evangelist George Mueller began praying for the salvation of five dear friends. We've heard often of Mueller's successful prayers and, you know, how quickly they are responded to. This story, after many months, one of them accepted Jesus Christ. 10 years later, two others were converted. 25 years later, the fourth man was saved. For 52 years, Mueller prayed for the salvation of his fifth friend. His faith was rewarded soon after George Mueller's funeral. His last friend was saved. So he didn't even get to see, but his example and his long-suffering enabled that fifth finally to be saved. George Mueller followed the pattern of long-suffering personally and influenced others to receive Christ and have everlasting life. Letter B, the deliverance of the second coming. The deliverance of salvation leads to Christ's second coming. Sometimes people have trouble understanding the concept of Christ's return. Our friends decided to let their 3-year-old son record the message for their home answering machine. The rehearsals went smoothly. "Mommy and Daddy can't come to the phone right now. If you'll leave your name, phone number, and a brief message, they'll get back to you as soon as possible." When the test came, our friends pressed the record button, and their son said sweetly, "Mommy and Daddy can't come to the phone right now. If you'll leave your name, phone number, and brief message, they'll get back to you when Jesus comes." It's kind of like, I guess they're never calling me back, at least on this earth. But I just thought that was sweet because it showed what they talked about in the home, that the kid even knew to add that to the message. I thought was just a wonderful testimony. When Jesus comes, 2 Peter 3:13-15 in your book, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." Wow. Long-suffering, but it's just to our reward. You've already been delivered by salvation, but one day Jesus will deliver you home to be with him in heaven. You know, we talk about it even saying, we're just passing through. We're changing addresses, you know. It might take us our whole life to this point, but we're still, you know, I get to, you know, when you sell a house, you like to get your house ready, right, before you move, or a new house ready. And that's kind of what we should be doing spiritually is, you know, cleaning up our house, getting ready for the big day, the big day. So in conclusion, men may spend their time searching for ways to endure trials that come into their lives, but the Holy Spirit has the power to impart long-suffering that no man can give. He can produce within us the ability to endure, and we can know that God is at work despite the trials we are facing. When you begin to feel that you cannot practice long-suffering anymore, when you feel you have nothing left to give, remember John Wesley. His journal shows how God used John Wesley's patience to formulate greatness. Through his testimony, know that God wants to do the same with you if you will endure to the very end. There's an excerpt out of his journal. "Sunday a.m., May 5th, preached at St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m., May 5th, preached in St. John's. Deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May 12th, preached in St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. Sunday a.m., May 19th, preached at St. Somebody Else's. Deacons called special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday p.m., May 19th, preached on the street, kicked off the street. Sunday a.m., May 26th, preached in a meadow, chased out of meadow as the bowl was turned loose during the service. And then Sunday a.m., June 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. This guy's going a whole month and not having much success. Then finally, Sunday p.m., that very night on June 2nd, afternoon, preached in a pasture. 10,000 people came out to hear me. Wow. What if he'd have given up after getting kicked out of his fourth church? He persevered. God's dream of using you to your fullest potential is within your reach. No matter what it takes to get there, get there. He will give you perseverance to help you grow into his purpose. He will give you influence as others see your example of faithfulness and long-suffering. He will give you deliverance when he comes again to take you home to heaven. Praise God. Remember to look forward to that. Keep our joy and peace and love. Finally, the area in your book, James 5:8, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Amen. May it be so soon. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, this fruit of long-suffering, what a wonderful promise that we can get only through the Holy Spirit to be able to endure our trials and all. I pray, Lord, that we would, again, take these to heart to learn to make the choices and to practice what we have talked about this morning, to exhibit long-suffering that might draw others to you, make you attract others through our behavior and our choices. We ask a blessing on all each came. We ask a blessing on the service to follow, just especially for Brother Jamie as he breaks the word of God to us. Lord, that you would just prepare our hearts to hear from you. Give him just the ability to speak your words in great calm and peace as he does so. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yes.